It's 16:57 hours. Good afternoon and good evening. Welcome. Hello. I hope you're doing well. I'm not doing quite so well at the moment as I usually am. Well, of course, I mean, or as a healthy person would be doing. I think my tooth and crown, number 3-6, are still causing this discomfort. Fortunately, it seems as though the antibiotic has taken away a lot of the pain, so I'm still feeling rather miserable, but to say the least, I mean, it's very low energy too. So hopefully we'll be able to do something more about that if we need to. And July 15th, 2023, 16:58 hours, Ward Green with you. Carl Jung is a Swiss psychiatrist. Sigmund Freud was an Austrian psychiatrist. Carl Jung said, "He who is afraid needs dependence, as a weakened man needs support." That's from Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist. And also from Lao Tzu, we have the quote, "Never say never, because the days go by so fast and nothing stays the same." The Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu. Now from Mark Twain. He said, "The truth must be served like a coat and not thrown in the face like a wet towel." Wonderful illustration by Mark Twain. We've got a song from 1979, and it charted 1979 and 1980. It reached number one on three of the four U.S. charts, which was its top position. Those were the three number one positions that it achieved by the Commodores. The last number one song released by Lionel Richie before he went solo, according to Wikipedia. And so Lionel Richie singing with the Commodores. Still.
Never.
The marvelous voice of Lionel Richie. I need to fix something here if I can. I think my earphone is in danger of being interfered with by my scarf. See what I can do here. Is that going to be better? I'm trying to. It might be better. That should be. I'm thinking that should be. Yeah, that should be okay. Probably that should be good. And that song, of course, was heard on the radio while I was doing whatever I was doing in 1979-80. That was when I went out west, I believe. And yeah, it was. In the summer of that year, of 79, I worked at the physical plant in Kingston as a summer job, writing a computer program for how to calculate pressure losses in a air conditioning or water pipe system. Both, that is. The same equations applied to both. And I knew that from my engineering physics. And that was, Mr. Young was the man in charge of the physical plant at that time. I don't know what he's doing at the moment. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 2, paragraph 2, had been fulfilled at the time of the destruction of the first temple as well. At the end of 40 years that began in the 13th year of Josiah. So, not Hezekiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel had prophesied 40 years. Josiah ruled 31 years, followed by 11 years of Jehoiakim and 10 years of Zedekiah. Thus, 31 plus 11 plus 10 minus 12, since it began in year 13 of Josiah, equals 40. We have 31 and 11 is 42, plus 10 is 52, minus 12 is 40. Then Jerusalem was destroyed in the summer of BCE 587, after those 40 years, which commenced thus in 627, which was the 13th year of Josiah, beginning in 639 BCE, which is the date we've mentioned in our other articles. Then Jerusalem was destroyed in the summer of BCE 587. We have noted also how there were 40 years from year 1 of Solomon, BCE 1017, until the northern kingdom broke away from Judah and Benjamin in BCE 977, which is Rehoboam year 1. But these fulfillments are true in other chronologies. In other words, it doesn't matter what dates you pick, the 40 years is still going to be fulfilled, because the relative number of years passing is still the same, whatever your absolute chronology is. The 40 years preceding the destruction of 70 CE, which ended the Jewish Second Temple, can only be associated with an event in the year 30 CE, if exactly fulfilled. A phenomenal coincidence occurs in this year, which is that 30 CE is the only year between 26 CE and 36 CE in which a certain Jewish celebration manifested three separate dates in the same week for several sects. These sects are the Essenes, Sadducees, and Pharisees. From research done in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essene days of the week did not conform to standards we know, as they would assign Nisan 1 as Wednesday every year. Now, it's important to note this. They didn't make Nisan 1 fall on the Wednesday that we and everybody else considered to be Wednesday. That's not what they did. They changed the name of the day of the week to Wednesday. That's what they did. So they made their days of the week fall in such a way that Nisan 1 of every year fell on a Wednesday. They didn't attempt to modify the Nisan 1. They modified the name of the day of the week. So some years, approximately 1 in 7 years, their Wednesday would coincide with everybody else's Wednesday, but not when Nisan 1 fell on a day other than Wednesday. This meant that Nisan 14 was always a Tuesday to them, beginning on Monday evening or maybe Tuesday evening. We're not exactly sure what it meant when they assigned Nisan 1 as Wednesday. If it was the daytime Wednesday, then of course 13 days later would be a daytime Tuesday, which would make Monday evening the Passover, assuming they celebrated it at the beginning of the day. Maybe they celebrated it at the end of the day. I mean, we don't know. But it's either Monday or Tuesday, it would appear here, because it wasn't the same day as Wednesday. Because that would be the Sadducee. That was the same as the Sadducee Passover, and the scriptures reveal that Jesus was impaled the day before the Sadducee Passover. Or that is the day of, depending on how you account the end of the day and so on. In our calendar, it's the day of, according to our calendar. It would have been, but we know it wasn't the same day because Jesus was impaled on the Wednesday. So it appears, unless there were 2 days intervening between his trial and impalement, in which case it could be Monday. So we have this slight uncertainty of 1 day. Yet this Tuesday was for them 13 days after the vernal equinox every year, which is when they began the year. The vernal equinox was the beginning of the Essenes year. In the year 30 CE, the Essene Passover appears to have preceded the Passover, of the Sadducees, by 1 or 2 days. Without this, there is no simple way to account for events as told in the Gospel accounts about Jesus. Hopefully we will return to this important point later so that it may strengthen the discussion that follows. Well, we have reason to believe, of course, that it was the Tuesday and not the Monday because of the prophecy about the 3 days that Jesus gave he said, just as in the days of Jonah, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, he would be in the grave 3 days. He prophesied about his death and resurrection as being 3 days apart. So we have that information that tells us it was likely the Tuesday, which also seems to be a very reasonable assumption. But 13 days after Wednesday would be a Tuesday, not a Monday, and not a Wednesday. So the Tuesday evening, this is curious, the Monday evening, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Sadducees celebrated Passover on a Wednesday evening that year, and the Pharisees Thursday evening, I believe, is what we've written in this article. That would mean that the Essenes celebrated it on the Tuesday evening. Right. Which in our calendar is Tuesday, Nisan 14, since Nisan 1 is a Wednesday for them, for the Essenes. So now, yeah, it's still, now I'm having difficulty understanding it again. It's so complex. There's so many unknowns. It looks like if they celebrated it on Tuesday evening, that would be the day before or the evening of the following day, actually, because the Jews typically celebrated the day beginning in the evening. So if they celebrated on the Tuesday, then Wednesday would be their Passover. That's correct, I think. Yeah, that's right. Wednesday would be their Passover. But, oh, yes, right. Nisan 1 was a Wednesday beginning on the evening of Wednesday. That's right. Not beginning. That's what that means. So therefore, Nisan 14 began on the evening of Tuesday. So it is correct, perfectly as correct as we might hope it to be. Right. Evening on Wednesday is the beginning of Nisan 1 for the Essenes every year. So they changed the name of the day. So it was for them. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. What was it for us in that year? That's the question. Oh, that's right. It might have begun. It might have begun differently. Okay. Their day of the week might be different by one day also. So we don't have to worry about right now. We'll talk about it later, because I don't think we have time today to get into all of it. But yeah, their day Tuesday isn't the same as the Tuesday of everybody else. So we don't have to worry right now until we figure that out, which we've written about in the article. So the proverb for today, little children, is Proverbs 27:14. He that is blessing his fellow man with a loud voice early in the morning, as a malediction, it will be accounted on his part. Numbers 15. We've taken a lot of time already. And Jehovah spoke further to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you must say to them, when you eventually come into the land of your dwelling places, which I am giving you, and you must render up an offering made by fire to Jehovah, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to perform a special vow, or voluntarily or during your seasonal festivals, in order to make a restful odor to Jehovah from the herd or from the flock. The one presenting his offering must also present to Jehovah a grain offering of fine flour, a tenth of an ephah moistened with a fourth of a hin of oil. And you should render up wine as a drink offering, the fourth of a hin, together with the burnt offering or for the sacrifice of each male lamb. Or for a ram, you should render up a grain offering of two-tenths of fine flour, moistened with a third of a hin of oil, and you should present wine as a drink offering, the third of a hin, as a restful odor to Jehovah. But in case you should render up a male of the herd as a burnt offering or a sacrifice to perform a special vow or communion sacrifices to Jehovah, one must also present together with the male of the herd a grain offering of three-tenths of fine flour. So I want to check that, though. I want to check this date. I don't think we have time to read everything today anyway. I want to check the date. I don't even have the window open yet. Okay, so we'll say that's a misspelling. Hang on. Let's go to willofjehovah.com and 30 CE. Let's try 30. Nice and one. How are we going to know that? We're not going to know that, are we? Okay, it was something like April. Well, it's a new moon, April 4th or 5th or something. Or the full moon was on the 4th or the 5th. That's right, right. So, but we want the first day of the month. So, let's go to the previous. New moon, March 22nd. That sounds correct. It was a Wednesday. But that's not the day of first visibility. That's right. So it's not as easy to do as it seems. We have to look at it more closely first to see, find out the first day of visibility, and which I've already done in the article. So it's not trivial. But it looks like it's going to be Thursday or Friday when the month began, so that would make it, you know, Wednesday or Thursday for the 14th of the month. So it looks like it's going to be Wednesday, so Tuesday evening is when they, so it looks correct. Or it looks like that's the overlap right there that we have assumed is the correct number based on our knowledge of one day or 2 days before the first visibility after the new moon. Anyway, but in case you should render up a male of the herd as a burnt offering or a sacrifice to perform a special vow or communion sacrifices to Jehovah, one must also present together with the male of the herd a grain offering of 3/10 of fine flour, moistened with half a hin of oil. A bigger offering. And you should present wine as a drink offering, half a hin as an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah. This is the way it should be done for each bull or for each ram, or for one head, among the male lambs or among the goats. Whatever may be the number that you may render up, that is the way you should do for each one according to the number of them. Every native should render up these in this way in presenting an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah. And in case there should be residing as an alien with you, an alien resident or one who is in your midst for generations of you, and he must render up an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah, just as you should do, so he should do. So let's skip ahead here, I think. If any soul should sin by mistake in verse 27, then he must present a female goat in its first year for a sin offering. Okay. But the soul that does something deliberately, whether he is a native or an alien resident, he's speaking abusively of Jehovah, in that case, that soul must be cut off from among his people. And so, in verse 32, while the sons of Israel were continuing in the wilderness, they once found a man collecting pieces of wood on the Sabbath day. Then those who found him collecting pieces of wood brought him up to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly. So, skipping down to verse 35, in time Jehovah said to Moses, without fail the man should be put to death. In verse 36, the whole assembly brought him forth and pelted him with stones so that he died. And then in verse 37, Jehovah said, they must make for themselves fringed edges upon the skirts of their garments throughout their generations, and they must put a blue string above the fringed edge of the skirt, speaking about the sons of Israel, and it must serve as a fringed edge for you, and you must see it and remember all the commandments of Jehovah and do them. and you must not go about following your hearts and your eyes, which you are following in immoral intercourse. The purpose is that you may remember and may certainly do all my commandments and indeed prove to be holy to your God. Right, in committing fornication is what do we call that, footnote? Yeah. The reference there, the translation immoral intercourse is also translated committing fornication. I am Jehovah your God, who have brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to prove myself your God. I am Jehovah your God. Now, do we have time? We do not have more time. If we would like to look at Acts chapter, what is it? 24, I believe it is. Correct? Acts 24. Right, the high priest here. I looked up the chief priest was named Annas at the time of Jesus' impalement. Annas was chief priest and Caiaphas was his son-in-law, the high priest. At this time, the high priest was Ananias. So at 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down with some older men and a public speaker, a certain Tertullus. I was going to say Tertullus. It's Tertullus. And they gave information to the governor against Paul. When he was called, Tertullus started accusing him, saying, "Seeing that we enjoy great peace through you," talking to Felix, "and that reforms are taking place in this nation throughout your forethought at all times and also in all places, we receive it, your excellency Felix, with the greatest thankfulness, but that I may not hinder you any further, I beseech you to hear us briefly in your kindliness. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and stirring up seditions among all the Jews throughout the inhabited earth, and the spearhead of the sect of the Nazarenes, one who also tried to profane the temple and whom we seized. From him you yourself can by examination find out about all these things of which we are accusing him." So they were going to let Paul accuse himself, in other words. That's what they thought. With that, the Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. And Paul, when the governor nodded to him to speak, answered, "Knowing well that this nation has had you as judge for many years, I readily speak in my defense the things about myself, as you are in a position to find out that for me it has not been more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they found me neither in the temple arguing with anyone nor causing a mob to rush together either in the synagogues or throughout the city. Nor can they prove to you the things of which they are accusing me right now. But I do admit this to you, that according to the way that they call a sect, in this manner I am rendering sacred service to the God of my forefathers, as I believe all the things set forth in the law and written in the prophets. And I have hope toward God, which hope these men themselves also entertain, that there is going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. In this respect, indeed, I am exercising myself continually to have a consciousness of committing no offense against God and men. So after quite a number of years, I arrived to bring gifts of mercy to my nation and offerings. While I was at these matters, they found me ceremonially cleansed in the temple, but not with a crowd or with a tumult. But there were certain Jews from the district of Asia who ought to be present before you, or to accuse me if they might have anything against me. Or let the men here say for themselves what wrong they found as I stood before the Sanhedrin, except with respect to this one utterance, which I cried out while standing among them, over the resurrection of the dead, I am today being judged before you. However, Felix, knowing quite accurately the matters concerning this way, began to put the men off and said, whenever Lysias, the military commander, comes down, I shall decide upon these matters involving you. And he ordered the army officer that the man be kept and have some relaxation of custody, and that he forbid no one of his people to wait upon him. Some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and he sent for Paul and listened to him on the belief in Christ Jesus. But as he talked about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and answered, For the present go your way, but when I get an opportune time, I shall send for you again. At the same time, though, he was hoping for money to be given him by Paul. On that account, he sent for him even more frequently and would converse with him. But when two years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix desired to gain favor with the Jews, he left Paul bound. So we see the corruption in government back in those days, even as we have corruption in government today. Now, if we could look at something in Numbers again here, if there's more to look at, we have a tiny bit of time. I should be residing as an alien with you. He should do the same thing as the native. You who are of the congregation and the alien resident who is residing as an alien will have one statute. It will be a statute to time indefinite for your generations. The alien resident should prove to be the same as you before Jehovah. There should prove to be one law and one judicial decision for you and for the alien resident who is residing as an alien with you. And Jehovah went on to speak to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you must say to them, on your coming into the land where I am bringing you, it must also occur that when you eat any of the bread of the land, you should make a contribution to Jehovah. You should make a contribution of the first fruits of your coarse meal as ring-shaped cakes. So that's another aspect here. Right, and that's the end of our study for today. Numbers 15, Acts 24. Right. If there was a mistaken sin, there would be a young bull rendered as a burnt offering. Of course, that's mentioned also. So that's all for today, little children. Thank you for listening and watching. I hope you enjoyed it. I love you very much, and I hope you will all have a wonderful day. This is on my behalf. This is also July 15th, 2023. And it's now 17:31 hours Eastern Daylight Time. We have no time left, but on my behalf, this is Phoebe and Annie. This is Annie saying bye for now.